Brokancho with Anna DeBlanchis right here on 720 WGN and on CLTV. From 3 to 4 every afternoon. Michael Steele joins us, former head of the Republican National Committee, and now an analyst of great import on the MSN and the B and the C. Mm-hmm. Now, let me start with you right now, Chairman. There is, I don't know. I'm watching. I'm watching the things transpiring in Washington D.C., and we're in this very traditional moment of the transition of power and all the pomp and circumstance that surrounds it, and it, right. and everything now looks like it would normally look. But I will ask you this. Now, there was a story earlier that Donald Trump didn't want to start business until Monday. He's going to take the weekend to, for all the festivities and the, traditional mm-hmm. stuff to mm-hmm. take place. And then start in earnest on Monday. How much different is the American political and, I guess political is the right way to put this, and legislative landscape going to look a week from today?
Very. It is going to be, I just say, mark what you know and what you've seen over the last year, 8 years, just mark it. And I can assure you that come Monday, if not before then, if not over the course of this weekend, there will be a tweet, there will be something from Donald Trump that will awaken you to the new reality that Washington and the country won't be the same. We don't know if that's going to be a good thing. We don't know if that's going to be a bad thing for a lot of folks. It's a bad thing. They're worried. They're scared. I'm still trying to figure out what that's all about. I'm sure anxiety medicine is like flying off the shelf.
I'm popping Ativan like Chiclets right now. Yeah.
It is the uncertainty. I think part of it that's unsettling. You don't know.
Uncertainty. Yeah, you don't know. But there's so many safeguards and so many checkpoints along the way in this system that are built in, particularly at this stage in our history, that I just don't see, this guy going off half-cocked with no recourse by anyone to step in and go, wait a minute, time out. So I think a lot of this anxiety is misplaced. I'm telling my friends and a few relatives to just enjoy it. Listen to the music. It's a beautiful concert. Our Marine Corps band and our fife and drum and, these artists that are coming to D.C. to perform. Just listen and enjoy it. Enjoy the parade and think about what the country stands for. Let's see what happens come Monday. Let's see what happens come a month from now, 100 days from now. And then we have a better sense of how to assess what this presidency is going mm-hmm. to be. Because, I remember skies falling, oh, my God, world will end when Barack Obama was elected. And certainly we all remember the 2000 debacle where, mm-hmm. Democrats, were screaming stolen election and all of that.
And listen, let's even go back to 1980. You and I are old enough to remember 1980 when there was a moment where people were like, "Oh no, Ronald Reagan's going to blow up the world," and there was all of that, and I get it. I mean, I was in school, but I remember being like a 15-year-old kid going, "Oh my God, he's going to blow up the world!" Right? So it was like there were some concerns. However, having said all that, we have to seize on this moment. I want to know when he sits down with Congress. And Congress, especially, let's just take healthcare for a second. And he's got stuff he wants in the healthcare bill that Congress is going to come back to him and go, "Well, we can't have that. We can't do that. There's, this doesn't pay for that and that and that." And he goes, no, I want it. I think the big fight here is not going to be between Donald Trump and Democrats. The real fight here is going to be between Donald Trump and his own leadership in the House, which is going to say to him, "No, you can't do this or you can't do that." And then will he tweet at them? Will he try to muscle them? And then the people who but there are realities of what's going to happen here. I truly believe that there are guys, including the Speaker of the House, who is an honorable guy, who's also a bit of a math brain, who kind of gets this mm-hmm. and knows that this is where it's going to add up.
It's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on all of that. You're absolutely right. And guess what? That's the check. That's the reality check for Donald Trump. You know, what you want when you're the CEO of your own private corporation, you get. Who's going to tell you no? Who's going to tell you, I'm sorry, you just can't build that building. I'm sorry, you shouldn't spend that much on a gold toilet. All right? Who? No one.
No one.
But now you've got 545 people who will look at you and go, well, yeah, I understand what you want, but that ain't what we're giving you. Because no matter how you cut it, at the end of the day, the purse strings are not controlled by the executive branch. It's controlled by the legislative branch, specifically the House. And so, you know, the big government republicanism, which if you peel back a lot of what Donald Trump is talking about, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's preserving Medicare and Medicaid and expanding that, whether it's, you know, whatever it happens to be. I mean, now it's insurance for everyone. Well, that's universal health care.
Right.
You
right.
say you want insurance for everybody, that's universal health care. That's right. not what Republicans are planning to put on the president's desk in the next few weeks or months. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about where the battle lines are going to be drawn. They're going to be drawn early. Everybody's doing the sort of kumbaya, welcome to Washington. Oh, it's a wonderful, you know, we now, you know, are in charge and all of that stuff. But the heavy lift begins on Monday morning. It has already begun in many respects because they have been working at this stuff over the last few weeks. And, you know, Trump is tweeting out stuff and saying things in interviews. And I know for a fact some of the folks on the Hill are going, wait a minute, that's not what we're doing. That's not the plan.
That right. The fact that he said he had his own health care plan, they're like, what? No one told you. What? What's he doing?
And no then, one told us that. Where is it?
Right. And he did the same thing about his economic plan, too. He's basically just taking the Heritage Foundation's economic plan almost word for word and saying, here's what it is.
Right.
And on the House, on the floor of the House, even though the Republicans and many of them conservatives are like, okay, well, a lot of this is kind of like, it's for political consumption, not for practical consumption, and so they're trying to figure out what do you mean by that?
Well, the other thing that came out, there was a story today about the dramatic cuts. The Trump transition team's been meeting with, career staff at the White House and talking about how we're going to have some big bureaucracy cuts. Departments of Commerce and Energy are going to see major reductions, they're predicting. They're also saying the Center Corporation for Public Broadcasting would be privatized, and the National Endowment for the Arts would also see
eliminated.
So they're saying that would be almost $900 billion or something, a huge number in cuts just off the top, and this is even before he takes office. What do you make of that, Michael?
And that's it's less than 1% of the spending of the country. So, I think things like that oftentimes play into a stereotype about how Republicans view what government does. We're not the first nation in the world to, look at the arts and sciences and other things and go, I don't know if we should spend money there. But invariably they do. And because, government ultimately recognizes that's a benefit to its people. And it's worth subsidizing, even though, it sounds like a big number. But given what we spend on everything else, it isn't.
Right.
I don't know what savings will come from that relative to the noise that will be generated by it. But that's a calculation both the White House and the Congress, and most especially Republicans, are going to have to balance and weigh and figure out whether or not the noise is going to be worth it. I think back to the age of Kennedy. I think, if I'm in the Oval Office, I'm talking about math and science and expanding exploration into space and saying, look, because I think that should be right up the government. I don't want to privatize space exploration. I want to control that in government. I want to make sure that we're generating a generation of people who can take us there. So, everybody looks at it differently. Everybody sees it in a different way, and it's going to be a balancing act. And I just, my only point is that may make some folks, real hard fiscal conservatives feel good. And I'm a fiscal conservative. I say, yeah, let's take a look at the numbers. But you then have to weigh that out and see, okay, is that savings really worth the downside of noise and the elimination of programs that probably could, help you in the future.
Right. You, what they spend on a hangar full of fighter jets that are not actually flying is what they would spend on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in a year. Maybe out of four fighter jets.
Puts
right?
it in perspective.
That are probably right now like in sick bay, like, eh, we'll get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's some tech sergeant at Nellis going, yeah, well, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll fix the thing on that. And the thing is that's an excellent point. All right, Michael, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael Steele.
We'll talk to you next week when the world is totally different.
You got it, my friend.
All right.